Are you ready for the entertainment experience of a lifetime? Knockdown, Dragout, hard-hitting conversations, debates, and interviews. Well, if you said yes to any of these questions, sit back, relax, and enjoy something like no other. This is the Isolation Series Podcast, presented by the Scott Robles team at Douglas Elliman Real Estate, by WellbeingsPerformance.com for all your online meeting needs, by Barbarian Steakhouse, Canada's premier upscale restaurant. For more information, go to Barbarians.com. By ImprintPilates.com Toronto and the Greater Toronto Area's premier Pilates studio. And by the Toronto Immune and Digestive Health Institute. For more information, go to TIDHI.ca. Here now is your host, Spencer Miller.
Hey guys, and welcome to this end of the week edition of the Isolation Series for this Friday, October 14th, 2022. Episode 211, as it were. I am Spencer Miller. That right over there is the man bun enthusiast himself, Paul Shields. And Paul, let's dive right into today's episode first and foremost with a little bit of wrestling talk off the top. I want to get your thoughts on AEW making their first foray outside of the United States over the last couple of days here in Toronto at Coca-Cola Coliseum, former Ricoh Coliseum, home of the Toronto Marlies, with a capacity of something like 5,700 people or close to that. What was your feeling on both days, because you were fortunate enough to be there for both days?
I thought it was great. They brought a really good show. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was hyped up both days. They featured a lot of Canadian wrestlers, whether it was in some of the dark matches, local talents, they've got a lot of really great Canadians on their roster. So it was a lot of fun. I thought that they really brought a good show for their first time outside of the U.S. And I like the Coca-Cola Coliseum, formerly the Ricoh Coliseum. It's great venue for wrestling. Of course, I would have loved to see them run, Scotiabank Arena or something like that. But it was a lot of fun. The crowd was loud. And yeah, I really enjoyed myself.
Good. Switching from wrestling to the beginning of the NHL season over the last couple of days, we've seen the Toronto Maple Leafs start their season with a 1-1 record, losing in Montreal on Wednesday night, and then coming back for a victory against Ilya Samsonov's old team, the Washington Capitals, last night. My question to you is, what are your takeaways, if anything, from the first two games of this Toronto Maple Leafs iteration?
I think that is probably what I would have expected. I other than maybe a little bit of that sloppiness in the first game against Montreal, like there's no doubt that Toronto was the better team in Montreal. They beat themselves in that game, and you could see the frustration. Even Sheldon Keefe was very candid post game, which you don't often see after the first game of the season. But I really felt like that was a game that the Leafs beat themselves. Right? They didn't do the things that they need to do to win a game, and they controlled most of that game. Last night in Toronto, I thought was much better, right? Much more controlled. They're way better with the puck as far as managing the puck. And, it's good to see the power play get on the board. Good to see Austin Matthews get one. But that power play looks deadly again. I know in Montreal they didn't have a lot of success, but the way that they move the puck, the way that they snap it around, particularly that first unit, they have a potential to be the best power play in the league again, in my opinion. I think it's hard to take anything from two games, but we'll get to see Matt Murray go back in the net, or by all accounts, it sounds like Matt Murray is going to get the next game against his old team in Ottawa. And you just hope that we see more of the Leafs we saw on Thursday night than we did the Leafs we saw on Wednesday.
Only time will tell, as I like to say. Switching from hockey to NFL, last night kicked off week 6 of the NFL season, and I felt bad once again for Al Michaels and anybody that watched that game, because for 2 weeks in a row, it was dumpster fire Thursday. We know that the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos had a stinker of a 12-9 game last week on Thursday Night Football. Well, this week it was followed up on Thursday Night Football by the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders going 12-7. So what are your thoughts, if anything, on the last two Thursday Night Football matchups?
Well, I mean, how do you, like, I don't even know what to say about some of these Thursday games. Like, they've been pretty atrocious. And I mean, the only upside to last night's game was the fact that I was at Rico Coliseum watching something entirely different. Like that was a tough football game last night. And, you know, I suppose, like, good on Carson Wentz and the Commanders for finding a way to win, but man, it was ugly. And I forget the exact stat, and maybe you know it, Spence, off the top of your head, but it was like a game and a half, without a touchdown on Thursday Night Football. Like, I really thought that Al Michaels might just leave the booth. He might just say, like, that's it, I'm out of here. You know?
Yes.
Like, sounded, and I only saw the highlights, so I can't talk about in-game. I didn't get any perspective, but even in the highlights, they were mentioning showing how frustrated he was and how long it took to see a touchdown on Thursday Night Football. It's wild.
Right. Okay. So moving from that, we want to go to the rest of the week 6 schedule, as it were. And I want to get your thoughts very quickly on a couple of games. First things first, does anything intrigue you about the week 6 matchups off the top of your head? Or just not really, and you're interested, as many people are, in the rematch between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, because it is the first time since the championship game that we are seeing those two heavyweight teams go together. And as we said at the time, it will go down arguably as one of the greatest games that any of us have ever seen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's an obvious game that I am absolutely interested in, like everybody is. But there's also a couple games with some sort of more surprising teams. Like Baltimore versus the Giants is interesting to me. You know, the Giants find themselves at 4-1, and all the commentary I hear around this team is they're not a 4-1 team. You know, all the commentary around Baltimore is that they're better than their 3-2 record. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing, you know, on Sunday, which one of that is true for that day, right? I mean, you can't predict a whole season off of one game, but I think that's kind of a show me game for both of those teams. I think the Giants can quiet some critics if they're able to win, and the Ravens might be able to, you know, cement the fact that they are a very good team over that.
So right now that line is Baltimore's favored by 6, or technically 5.5. Do you think that Brian Daboll and the Giants will keep it within a field goal? Because that's how I'm feeling.
I do. The Giants have been playing, we've talked about this before, and, you know, I love it. I would lovingly call it ugly football, right? They hit really hard. On defense, they run the ball well. They have an offense that's found a little bit of a rhythm now with Danny Dimes. But it's not the most beautiful football, right? It's not, you know, Patrick Mahomes making something out of nothing, creating magic. It's pretty smash mouth, straight ahead football. And what I see is that creates really close games. So unless Lamar Jackson can just go off and have an absolute night, which he's of course capable of doing, we all know that. I just don't see them being, I think 5.5 is too much. I really do think it's going to be within a field goal or darn close to a field goal. So I think I'd be taking the Giants on that one. The other match that's got my attention, Spence, before you continue on, is the Cowboys and the Eagles. Like the Eagles still undefeated on the season. The Cowboys miraculously 4-1, you know, playing incredibly well with Cooper Rush at the helm. Now, you know, I know we've talked a little bit about what happens when Dak is ready. Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? But man, that's an interesting matchup to me too. What do you think?
Well, this is a really intriguing matchup. You're absolutely right, Paul, in terms of these two teams and the fact that 5 weeks ago, nobody would have ever thought that Cooper Rush would have got the Cowboys to where they are right now. But we got to play the matchups as we see them on a week-by-week basis. And right now, the Cowboys are 4-1. My question to you is this. We know that Dak had his first limited practice back, so his status for Sunday is not determined quite yet. And if I was a betting man, which I am because of the magnitude of the game, and just because his name brings a little more gravitas to the matchup itself, I would be very surprised if somehow Dak didn't suit up for this game on Sunday. Still, you know, we were waiting for the official announcement on that, like we said. But like I said last week as well, I would let Cooper Rush run with this team for the foreseeable future until he shows signs of losing the team, in terms of the fact that I know that you paid Dak all of this money and he's supposed to be your marquee player. But we talked about it as well. Even before Dak got injured in week one, the Cowboys didn't look to be on the same page with Dak at the helm. And since Cooper Rush has come in, this team, pretty much on all cylinders, has responded very, very nicely.
I don't think you can have that much money sitting on the sidelines. Quite frankly, like, it's just, you know, I understand Jerry Jones is maybe the most volatile owner in sports. And, you know, he's certainly one of the most vocal, doing like weekly radio hits and consistently talking about the Cowboys the way a general manager might talk about their team in basically any other sport. But, you know, let's look at the ceiling of the player. And with all due respect to Cooper Rush and everything he's done, he's not Dak Prescott. So I think that if Dak is less than 100%, he will not be playing. I just don't see them risking a long-term injury for their franchise player who they paid all that money to be, you know, 75 or 80% with the team rolling the way that it is. So I agree with you in the sense that, you know, it's okay to let this team roll. They're playing well. There's no reason for him to rush back. No pun intended. But I do think that when Dak is 100%, regardless of what Rush has been able to do or what the team's record looks like, Dak is the starting quarterback. Now, I think that Cooper Rush's play has, you know, warranted a little bit more, whether it's time, whether it's reps in, you know, in short yarded situations, whatever it is to get him in the game. I think that there are ways that they'll utilize him, but I do not see them sitting Dak on the sidelines at 100%.
Right. And the other two contests that I want to talk about for week six before we end today's program. First, I want to talk about an intriguing matchup to me as well. Much like the Ravens and the Giants, we also have the Jets going up in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. And we know that last week the Packers lost a close one to the Giants in London, England. So you have all that travel all the way back and having to get reacclimatized to your normal time zone and everything like that. But we also know that the New York Giants, through the first 5 weeks of the NFL season, have been a relatively pleasant surprise as well, all things considered. So right now the Packers are favored by 8 at home, 7.5 technically, which is 8 I think the Jets can backdoor cover that. However, I do believe that the Green Bay Packers will come back after losing to the Giants and win this game.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that 8 is just too large a spread. I think this is Packers all day long, but I would be in the same camp as you, right? If they're up, you know, 24 to 15 or something, you know, and they're 24 to whatever, in the late quarters, a sneaky field goal here or a sneaky touchdown in sort of garbage time, I think is going to hurt some Packers voters who take this, take the Packers plus the points. Because or minus the point, excuse me. Wait, yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. If you're taking the Packers, I think 8's too big a bet. That's what I think. If the Packers were on a full week, not having to travel across the world, if they, you know, were, if this were a regular Sunday afternoon game, that 8 might feel a little more attainable. There's something about that travel. It's not easy. And we know all professional athletes are creatures of habit, right? No matter the sport, you have a routine, you're in that routine. And I think football is even more dramatic in that sense, right? You play once a week, you have video practice sessions, walkthroughs. Like the regiment for how you prepare is very, very specific. And while heading over to Europe helps to expand the game, of course, and NFL wants to be over there and they want to have marquee teams like the Packers over there, I think it does wear on the players a little bit. Not enough that, you know, anyone would use it as an excuse or anything like that, but I think it's a realistic possibility that they're just not quite as sharp. And this Packer team hasn't been as sharp as we are used to seeing already. So for me, although it's so scary to pick the Jets as a good bet ever, regardless of what their record says, regardless of some of the good play they've had this year, I'm just not a fan of this team. I just don't believe in Zach Wilson, but he has been better compared to last season. And I do think they can sneak in and make it a close game.
What do you think is going to happen between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks? We've seen the Arizona Cardinals look absolutely horrible for the majority of the season so far this year. However, in the last couple of weeks, they've looked somewhat decent and winning a couple of close games and whatnot. But the Seattle Seahawks, again, have been a relatively pleasant surprise through the first 5 weeks of the season, having the record that they do have. And having Geno Smith be a really good game manager for this team, and the team really responding to that. So right now, the Cardinals are favored by 3. I am more inclined to take the Seahawks plus 3 in this particular situation.
I'm probably... See, here's where I like, my gut says that Arizona can probably cover 3 points. Right? That's where my gut is. However, I agree that the Seahawks have been like, this is a team that doesn't cheat you on effort. I think it really showed that, like, we're starting to see some of the brilliance of Pete Carroll and how he's able to work with what he has. And, you know, I think the conversation continues, was Pete holding Russ back or Russell holding Pete back? Right? So, I think that's going to be a storyline throughout the year. And I simply cannot trust Kyler Murray. You know, I just like, there's something about this whole Arizona team that feels off. So while at first glance, I like, my gut would be like, well, Arizona is probably the better team. They probably should cover that number. I just don't see it happening. So I think I'm with you, Spence. I agree, but I've almost confused myself that I agree with you.
You've confused me just in trying to explain myself in that particular scenario, but that's not the first time that that's happened, and it won't be the last time. That be perfectly
no, honest. Definitely not.
Is there anything that we haven't covered in this episode 211 that we should cover before we wrap it up?
No, you know what, Spence? I think that's a great rundown. It's great to be back on with you. I know we had a really busy week, but awesome to talk and awesome to finish off the week chatting sports with you as always.
Absolutely. And for those who are baseball fans, we will get into more baseball talk next week. Full disclosure, because of the busy week that we've had, both of us, we haven't really been able to keep up with the division series and whatnot. So come next week, we will do a rundown of what happened in the division series, but also preview the American League Championship Series and NLCS series respectively as well. So you want to stay tuned for that. But for Paul Shields, I am Spencer Miller. This has been episode 211 of the Isolation Series. We hope you have a great weekend with whatever it is that you are doing, and we look forward to coming at you again on Monday. Until then, see you. Bye-bye.
And Paul, please tell people all about some more whole grain goodness that is us.
Folks, be sure to check us out on podbean.com by going to theisolationseries.podbean.com. There you'll find the audio-only versions of the podcast, including all of our past amazing interviews. One more time, that's theisolationseries.podbean.com. And hey, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. It's at @vspencermiller and at Pauly Shields, Pauly spelled P-A-W-L-Y. So find us on podbean.com, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
And once again, everybody, thank you for watching and or listening and supporting this thing we like to call the Isolation Series. For Paul Shields, I am Spencer Miller, and we will see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.